The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And boy, we have a lot to talk about tonight. And ready to defend this radio program against all enemies. Courageous Craig standing by.
Hello, everybody.
There you go. And here we have, he's radical and rowdy, and it's Randy.
Be blessed, no stress, everybody.
And she flutters and stutters. It's none other than little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
And our special guest tonight is Pastor Carlton Smith, and he probably thinks we're all a little strange, okay? But welcome to the program.
Good evening.
All right, we have a lot to talk about tonight, so here's what we got to do. For you folks out there listening, all these years, you know how we continuously tell you about power in prayer. There's power in prayer. Now, you heard yesterday's program. We managed to stay up and not get taken down, okay? And so we need for you folks, wherever state you're in out there listening to us tonight, to join us. See, there's power in prayer. Believe me, the opposition knows when God's people are praying. Boy, do he know. So, and he's not going to want this radio program, what we're going to be talking about, to go out over the airwaves tonight. So, folks, join with me as we go and we petition the good Lord for to keep us up and on the air, that we get his message out. Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, let the people all pray and ask, Father God, Lord, that you would stay, that your message, that what we're going to get across tonight with our special guest, Pastor Smith here, Lord, that we're up on all stations, that they can't take us down on any of the stations tonight. And Lord, that this program falls out in such a way, Lord, that not only does it glorify and honor you, and it's well-pleasing, because we're going to bring the light of the truth. Just a little light chases away so much darkness. But, Father God, let some tonight hear and some call upon you and receive eternal life. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to start tonight in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And here, Randy, you go ahead and read verses 1 through 7.
All righty. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they that creep into the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts.
All right. Let's start there with I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
Okay, sure. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
All righty. So here you'll notice something as we start out. Know this also, in the last days, perilous times. Now, he's very specific. When he says last days, he's talking about the end of the sixth dispensation period. In other passages, you'll have, say, in 1 Timothy 4, he tells you that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in later times, okay, and that there's going to be seducing spirits. But we're seeing, and in other places in Scripture, it always talks about later times or end times. But now this is very specific. So he tells you, when you see these characteristics in men, know that you are in the last days, okay? And so then he goes and he says, for men should be lovers of their own selves. Do we see that today?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I couldn't believe it when Governor Cuomo in New York, when he says it wasn't prayer, and it wasn't God, it was us that stopped the COVID here, which he didn't stop. He was telling just the opposite. Okay, yes.
But the whole phenomenon of Facebook, where people really think that the world wants to know that I ate breakfast with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that whole phenomenon. That's self love.
Yeah,
narcissism.
Covetous. Do we see nothing but covetousness today? What is actually when we talk about the transfer of wealth, okay, that Obama talked about, that he was going to transfer the wealth from those that earned it to those that deserve it, okay?
I want what you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Boasters, boy, do we see that.
Yes.
Proud. Blasphemers, there you go again. Now, listen to this. And I want you to think about these college kids. These college kids out there that are talking about how they hate America. They hate America. They were raising money for Antifa and the Taliban, okay? But here, I've never seen more ungrateful, unthankful, overprivileged as they are today. And you know what that applies to, Brother Carlton, is those athletes, the ones that were taking the knees,
right.
These football players taking the knees. Here they're in a country that's given them an opportunity far more than they deserve. Okay, they've been blessed, and what are they doing? They turn around and hear unbelievable. And for us old timers, it kind of really, it's like a stab in the heart, isn't it?
That's right. That's right.
And so, go ahead.
No, just totally ungrateful, unappreciative, a nation that has given them opportunity to disregard, dismiss. It's the height of arrogance and ingratitude, and it marks the whole culture.
And it's, you know, again, they don't deserve these things. And, you know, these that were coming out recently and talked about giving money to Taliban, you know, so that they could fight against America. I would love to send those young people there, you know, to Taliban, these socialists too. I'd love to send them over to North Korea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And Venezuela. Mm-hmm. I'd like to, you know, they want this, they want that. I'd like to send them there that they could get it.
Okay. What about the Muslim nations with Sharia law? I think they'd have definitely an awakening under Sharia law.
Well, you have that, what's her name, that little congresswoman.
Tlaib and AOC and
right.
the squad.
Yeah, they just recently came out and said that their goal is putting all America under Sharia law. If they want that, why don't they stay where they could have it?
That's right.
Yes.
And here you've got, and it tells you the days we're living in here. These women, if you hear them when they're talking to their people at their meetings they're having, when they have these town hall meetings and that, foul language, the foul language all of them are using. I mean, it's, these women are vulgar, and they call them the squad. I call them the squat, okay?
Sure.
They're vulgar. They're rebellious. The Bible says rebellion is the same as?
Witchcraft.
And they're overbearing. They're wicked. Jeremiah 2:34 says that Their skirts are filled with the blood of the innocent. Their skirts are filled with the blood of the innocent. And he says, God didn't even have to look upon their heart to see that. What's he tell them? He's telling them that by your own mouth you convicted yourself. So he goes on and he says, without natural, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. How would that apply today?
Murdering your own children.
Yes, sure. Abortion. No.
Could there be anything more natural? You know, I mean, a mother lion or a mother dog will fight to the death to protect his pups.
Yes.
But these women will offer up their children.
Yes.
Wicked women. Wicked, wicked. Lovers of, well, it goes on to say traitors. Boy, have we seen that. General Milley. General Milley out there. And then you've got these rhinos that just came out and voted to bankrupt America. They joined the Deathocrats to bankrupt this country. That's not just politics. You can't say that's just politics. No, that's evil. That's right from the pit of hell, okay? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What do you think, Carlton?
Oh, my goodness. We will spend millions and millions and billions of dollars on pleasurable pursuits, appetites, entertainment, any and everything that gives pleasure to us. And we'll exalt, we'll exalt athletes over those who bring far more substance to our lives, teachers, physicians, whatever.
How about soldiers,
missionaries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have no problem with a guy that can dribble a basketball, giving him tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, because our craving is pleasure, excitement, anything that feeds my flesh and feeds my emotion. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
In Proverbs chapter 2, he talks about simple-mindedness, how long you simple-minded.
Yeah.
When I look at these people, and I say, that's simple-mindedness. Yeah. These people are, they're not hitting on all these cylinders. But then you go ahead, and he says, fear is despisers of those that are good. Well, anything that is good, they hate. You see the way that they hate it. Now, last night we showed you, we've been telling you why they hate President Trump so much, why they feared him, why they hated him. It's because what he was doing, he was revealing this child molesting pedophilia. One by one, he was exposing them. He was bringing, he was building a special force to look into that. And these people could not afford that. And this is why they hate him so much. All of those, NBC, ABC, CBS, Hollywood. But it's going to come out. It's going to come out.
Yes.
And that young woman last night, she brought a lot of it out, didn't she?
Yes,
she did.
And so here in that film that's coming out, that's being produced, that should be out, I think, any time. That's going to really expose a whole lot of it.
Mm. Absolutely.
And so here, then it goes on to say, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
How about we hold hands, we kneel down like we're praying, and then we raise our clenched fist in front of the presence of the stadium.
Yep.
The athletes do that all the time. It's like everything's in reverence until we raise our fist up in defiance of.
What about the apostate church? The apostate church, you have, look, I truly believe this. I truly believe, I'm not kidding you. I think if you could invent a new sin tonight, by tomorrow, United Church of Antichrist and these Episcopal, they'd have it in their articles of faith.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. When you take a look at so many of our denominations, look at their histories and look at where they are.
Today.
You know, forms, but no substance. The Episcopal Church that has completely turned away. If it weren't for the Anglicans in other parts of the world, in this nation, the Episcopal Church is completely turned away from the things of God. But it's not just the Episcopal Church. It's the Presbyterians. It's the Baptists.
The World and National Council.
Oh, yeah.
The Methodists.
It's all the World National Council.
Yeah.
And so I belong to unregistered New Testament churches. These are, you will not find any of those that are not 100% solid Bible preaching, Bible teaching, holding to it. But here, if God's word calls it a sin, okay, they embrace it. They all embrace it. Okay, let me give you an example. One day I was driving down Route 20 a minute, and I got a call, and the call said, you got to turn on, was it 1300 or 1330, it's one of those stations. And I said, why? And they said, well, it's Al Sharpton. I said, why in the world would I want to listen to Al Sharpton? They said, because he's talking about you, okay? And basically calling me a racist, okay? Let me ask you this. Does Al Sharpton embrace the sin of abortion?
Yes, sure he does.
Yes.
He gets tons of money from Planned Parenthood. Okay, does he embrace sodomy?
Yes.
Okay, can you think of one single sin that Al Sharpton doesn't embrace?
No.
No.
No. No. You see, but these people out there, and they call him a reverend, right? They call him the Reverend Al Sharpton. But he's just one of so many of apostate churches out there.
The president of Union Theological Seminary, just a year ago, I can't remember what her name is, but has come out and said she doesn't believe the Bible. She doesn't believe in the resurrection of Christ. She doesn't believe in the virgin birth. She believes nothing at all about any of those. And yet, she's the president of Union Theological Seminary.
Yeah, isn't the same thing going on at Harvard? They just brought the guy in that's basically an atheist, and he's over the seminary there.
Yeah.
Okay, of this sort are they that creep into houses. Now, remember, back in those days, churches were called church houses. That's what they were called. Right. The houses. And lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. When I take a look at today, when you look at these prosperity churches, these huge mega churches, about 80% of the people in there are women. Okay, and they're ever learning, but what is it then they're there for?
Oh, for the prosperity. Isn't it interesting though that all of these people, wherever they've gone off the track on the doctrinal basis, then when they uncover their lives, there's either greed, lust, sexual perversion. There's something that's not right.
Right.
When the doctrine isn't right, there's always something, and it's usually some gross, immoral sin of some type.
Yep, absolutely. Well, with that, we're going to switch over and hear BLM, and I refer to them as burn, loot, and murder. And because when I've watched what's happened, there's over 40 people, the riots, when you have these prostitutors, okay, and I call these prostitutes, they're supposed to be prosecutors, but they don't. They've been bought and sold and owned, just like in this latest thing with this trial that was taking place. And I have the article here someplace. Okay, for example, here, with this Rittenhouse judge becomes unglued with the prosecution after flagrant transgressions. Now, here, we watched this thing with this young guy trying to defend himself, being chased down by these mad animals, okay? Chasing him down, and he defended himself. I watched the films they took in Portland and Seattle. I watched an elderly man trying to cross the street, and I watched one of those cowardly yellow low-down run up behind him with a brick and smash him in the back of the head. I watched a retired police chief defending some property. It wasn't his, it was a friend's. And they came up and point blank shot him. I watched people there in Missouri, where in St. Louis, where they were defending their property from burn, loot, and murder. And in all cases, the bought and paid for Okay, if you sell yourself, and what does the Bible call those that sell themselves for?
How about prostitution? Whores.
Calls them, they've gone a whoring.
Yeah.
They've gone a whoring. So they were bought and placed. And this prosecutor here, in this case with Rittenhouse, attorney Thomas Binger, was bought and paid for. He's a bought and paid for by owned by George Soros, a prostitutor, okay, there. And we watched them get murderers off. We watched Kamala Harris and boasting, bragging about how people that had committed the worst crimes, how she could get them off. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we are, needless to say, engaged in a struggle that none of us years ago ever thought we'd be dealing with these things now. I know, Pastor Ernie, you talked about some of these years ago, but here we are now in the midst of all of this. And I'd have to say that if there's one thing that the church itself is complicit on or really in need of, is that we are to be in this time the pillars of truth.
Yeah.
But we've given way. We've stepped away. Jesus talks about what happens when salt loses its saltiness. That is us right now. And in many respects, because of our failures, we are now in a country and in a culture that is suffering. When we talk about BLM, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter didn't just show up last year.
No.
This is something that's been coming, but because we've been asleep, we've not been paying attention. This has now risen to a level that it has infected everything. There's a verse that you read earlier. It's First Timothy 4:1-2. It says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in the later time, some will fall away from the faith, fall away. It's an apostate situation, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons.
Demons.
This is an issue of deceptions and satanic and demonic teachings and doctrines that have crept up into all of our thinking. And you can't understand what BLM is doing without understanding what's behind that. Maybe at another time we can talk about some of the issues of critical theory and critical race theory. That's a doctrine of demons.
Absolutely.
It's made its way into how we see everything. Before I met the Lord, I was a racist. I met Jesus back in 1972. I hated white people. I completely had embraced a racist worldview. And Jesus, when I gave my life to him, completely turned all of that around. So I've carried for years a sensitivity to this issue of race.
How did what was it that brought you to the Lord? How'd that happen?
Oh, it's a long story, but to make a long story very short, I spent 4 years in New England going to school. This was one of the privileged boarding schools. As a matter of fact, last year, the school that I attended in high school was rated the number one secondary school in the United States, Phillips Exeter Academy. While I was there, it was in the late 60s. Remember when the riots were going on here in Cleveland?
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
I remember all of that. I went to New England. I went to a conference, an Afro-American conference at Dartmouth my first year in high school, and completely was indoctrinated with an Afrocentric worldview. By the time I left that school 4 years later, I had no place in my life for white people at all. The interesting thing is that God used the most unlikely people. I'd never used the people that he used, but they were white, and some of them were Catholics. Now, it would take me a while to explain how he used all of that. But as a result of those two things, I ended up giving my life to Christ. It was at the very end or in the middle of the Jesus movement. What took place was God removed all of the relationships that I had, except for this small group of these white folks. And I wasn't even aware of it, because at the time that I met Christ, I said, Jesus, I'm not interested in being religious, but if you are Lord, I'll follow you. I was so taken with him that I didn't notice everything else was just gone until someone pointed it out. But that was the issue. So it was a complete turnaround for me. God flipped the script on my life and completely delivered me from a heart of racism. I didn't even deal with race again for another 4 or 5 years.
God's got a way of doing that.
Yeah, he does.
Hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
If I could send a simple message to our troops at home and far away, I would make one small promise. Hear me now, this is what I'd say. You are forever.
Forever Heroes. And now we're going to hear a message from the real legitimate president of the United States of America.
Veterans Day, I'd like to pay tribute to all of those incredible people, and you are indeed incredible people, who serve so well and so strong and so powerfully in the United States Armed Forces. We love you. Our nation respects you. The world respects you. And we will come back. Our country has gone through a lot. The last period of time has been very, very tough watching what you had to watch. But our country will be back and will be back stronger than ever. Happy Veterans Day.
On this Veterans Day, we had a big sign out in front of the church. And you know what it said? It says that God is on the throne. He's in complete control. And President Donald Trump is still the legitimate president of the United States on one side. And then on the other side, it said, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. And we, the people, doers of the word church, will never submit to the deep state corruption in this country. And we had that sign up there for a long time. Somebody stole it today. Somebody got it. They must have did it quickly, but we're going to put another one up.
Yes, we are.
Amen.
Yes.
And then little Lisa will be out there guarding it. She'll be walking
with my
around.
My Glock 19 semi-auto. Don't dare touch it.
All righty, there you go. Now, Randy, who is this other fellow sitting in here with us?
Oh, it's a privilege and an honor to talk about this other fellow. And for me, it is because here, a little background on he and I is that we grew up in the same neighborhood at the same time. We're the same age. We know some of the same people. And even now we live in the same neighborhood. But we knew none of this until about a week or two ago. Okay. And this is Carlton Smith. Carlton Smith is the founder and president of Architect, and that's Tech with a K International, which basically is a group that provides unique consultation for businesses and other organizations. He's a pastor of Antioch Fellowship Assemblies and has been since 2004 and currently is now. And this is an assembly of a network of churches. He's the founder of a Northeast Ohio Intercession Network, and it's a network of approximately 700 intercessors covering the spiritual activity in Northeastern Ohio. He's a prayer coordinator in the Cleveland Hope Organization. He's also president of Bridge Builders Incorporated. He's the co-founder of Mission Cleveland, and Mission Cleveland is a city-reaching movement encompassing Northeastern Ohio and six counties in Northeastern Ohio. He's a Northern Ohio coordinator of the Houses of Worship, and these are Houses of Worship. These are ministries in homes. Is that not correct?
Right.
In homes. And he coordinates that, and it gives him access to over 300,000 churches across the United States. And the pastor also periodically, he teaches in the congregations as well. He's the executive director of the Christian Family Outreach and executive director of National Family Institute, and that is a public policy institute with a focus on issues related to African American families. He also has a prison ministry, and it goes on. He's a graduate of, as he mentioned, Phillips Exeter Academy. And is that New Hampshire or is that Vermont?
No, that's in New Hampshire.
That's in New Hampshire, right. And it's one of the most exclusive, as he mentioned, private schools in America. He attended high school there, and that's why I'd never met him. We would have gone to the same high school. I'm 2 months older than he is, and for those of you, and then I'm going to back off, he was born on Christmas Day.
Well, born on. Yeah. Wait a minute. Somebody else famous was born on Christmas Day. Oh, yeah.
Yes, Jesus.
And with that, I'll turn it back over to Pastor.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you this. I forgot to do this. Folks, tomorrow, that we were going to have a protest at the Geauga County Board of Health. That has been canceled. That protest for tomorrow has been canceled. So for you folks out there, the protest for Geauga City Board of Health has been canceled for tomorrow. Now, at the same time, Saturdays, I wanted to say that November 13th, from 10 to noon, there's going to be an anti-vax mandate protest at Progressive Headquarters. That's going to be at Progressive Headquarters. America is standing up and America is fighting back. America is not going to take it anymore. We're not going to take it anymore. We're pushing back against the Antichrist. This is the Antichrist world system. And God's Word, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible tells you that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. So that's Progressive Headquarters at 6300 Wilson Mills Road in Mayfield Village. Again, that's Progressive Headquarters, 6300 Wilson Mills Road in Mayfield Village. One more time, November 13th, Saturday from 10 to noon at 6300 Progressive Headquarters, 6300 Wilson Mills Road in Mayfield Village.
May I interject one thing, too, because Progressive has a lot of locations there. It's right over there at the plaza at the junction of that would be Monticello or Wilson Mills Road, and at I-271, there's a plaza there with a Chipotle in it, and it's right across the street.
All right, very good. Okay, and let's get back to Pastor Smith here. And you're here tonight to talk about the real, well, I call him Bern Luton BML, okay? And I call them Bern Luton Murder because that's what they do.
Yeah. We need to understand just what that organization is about, because it is not about what it appears to represent. Keep in mind that our warfare isn't against flesh and blood. The Bible is very clear about that. It says that we wrestle against principalities, powers, world forces of this darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Our real struggle is against something that is satanic in nature. And because of that, we need to be prepared and vigilant and discerning to deal with that. Because what does it say concerning Satan? Jesus calls him the father of lies. He speaks out of his own nature. And one of the issues, one of the strategies that he has used against God's people and the world are lies and deceptions. And so when Paul writes about this issue of paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, interlaced in all of that are lies. And on the surface of things, we can look at a thing and say, this is what that's about. But the truth of the matter is, it's not. It's about something far more insidious. The issue of Black Lives Matter, let me say this right from the beginning, is really not about black lives. Now, here is the thing that you got to understand, and we all know this, that in the history of this nation, we've got that slavery thing that went on 200 years ago, that 400-year period back to 1690. Do you remember the New York Times introduced that whole thing of the 1619 Project?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure.
Which is a lie. It's a lie, but what we have lacked are the sources of truth. There are only three real sources of truth that the Bible speaks about. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Truth is a person. He says in John 17, Father, I don't ask that you take them out of this world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. So the Son of God is the source of truth. The Word of God is the source of truth. And then Jesus in John 17, on three different occasions, refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. So the three sources of truth, Word of God, Son of God, Spirit of God, are what we have in order to recognize and to live and to walk in truth. Without that, without them, we have no chance of getting a hold of the truth. Much of the church is without that. So what do we pay attention to? The lies and the deceptions. I mentioned earlier, one of the things that it says about the serpent, about Satan, is that he was the craftiest of the beasts in the field. So what does he do? Deception is no more than a little bit of truth mixed with a whole lot of lies. I mentioned earlier, if you want to understand Black Lives Matter, you got to understand some of what's up underneath that, and that's this issue of critical theory and critical race theory. It really is a doctrine of demons. It takes humanistic ideals, it takes dark and demonic worldviews, and it interlaces them into a worldview that says, in essence, every institution has been formed in racism so as to hold down people of color, black people. It's a little more involved in all of that, but it is a lie. The thing is that it's based upon cultural Marxism, which are manifestations, again, of just the spirit of Antichrist, witchcraft in the world. And so what you've got with Black Lives Matter are three women at the very beginning of this thing. You got to understand the timeline for BLM, because that's important. Do you remember Trayvon Martin?
Sure.
when he was killed and Richard Zimmerman was accused of that, was acquitted. When Trayvon Martin was killed, Patrice Cullors and Alicia Garza, who were friends, responded by putting something up on Facebook. And the phrase was Black Lives Matter. It was Patrice Cullors that put it up there. What Alicia Garza did was to put a hashtag, and all of a sudden, this thing made its way across social media. They enlisted then another friend, Opal Temeti, who then built an entire social network platform around that. But you got to understand that these three women had other issues at work in their lives. Patrice Cullors and also Alicia Garza are both self-identified queer. Both are married to transgender males. And so from their vantage point, this isn't just about race. This is about issues of sexuality also. Also, both of these women are from broken families. And so when you begin to take a look at what's taking place within Black Lives Matter, it doesn't take very long before you start to recognize that only on the surface is this about black people and black lives. Once you start to get further down in this, what do you see? You begin to see the taking away or the changing, the corruption of God's creation. God made them to be male and female. Let us make man in our image, the expression of God. Is male and female.
We just read in here, too, where it talked about having without natural affection. Now,
Yep. You
know, in our ministry over the years, we have saved over 24,000 babies from abortion. Mm-hmm. In our ministry that we worked here over the years since 1974, most of those babies were black, the largest majority of them. And here, these people, now Black Lives Matter, okay, unless it comes to abortion, sacrificing children. Now, to you and I, hypocrisy is repulsive. To us, hypocrisy is a bad thing. The Lord Jesus said, woe unto you hypocrites, woe unto you hypocrites, woe unto you hypocrites. But to them, I've said in their meetings when they didn't know who I was, not Black Lives Matter, but the liberals, and they boasted about their hypocrisy. They boasted about their hypocrisy. Like it was something to be embraced, and
yeah,
they did.
Yeah. I've got a friend down in Atlanta. Her name is Catherine Davis. I just saw Catherine a couple of years ago. She is a black pro-life leader, very involved in the pro-life movement. We were standing in front of the one abortion mill over on
Shaker.
On Shaker.
Yeah, 12,000.
Preterm. Shaker. That's preterm.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And she said, you know, Carl, she said, God spoke something to me a few years ago, and so I asked her, I said, well, what was that? And she said, and I knew it was God because he asked me a question. His question to her was, how many black people were there in the United States in 1960? And it was just an unusual question. She had no idea the answer, so she went back to take a look and see what the answer was. In 1960, there were 18,131,171 black people in the United States in 1960. Then his question to her was, how many black babies have been aborted since 1973? 20 million.
Wow.
Yeah, more than that.
20 million.
More have been killed than that.
More have been killed than those who lived in the United States in 1960. So when you hear Black Lives Matter, but an embrace of aborting black babies, what you're realizing is this is not about black lives. This is about something else. The veneer that's been posted over this thing has been black lives. And the reason is that that's such a deep wound in this country that it's very easy to sell things under that. All you got to do is mention slavery, racism, and you've got the attention of virtually every black person in this country.
You mean to tell me you don't believe that Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi really love you black folks?
I'm glad my wife's not here. No, here is what's happened. Here is what's happened. Blacks have been used by the left, by Democrats, for at least the last generation, if not further back. After the New Deal, where there was that realignment. Prior to that, blacks were solidly Republican because this was the party of Lincoln.
Yep.
It was after the Depression and Roosevelt that shift took place. But here's what's happened. Black people have been used by liberals, by Democrats ever since then. You think for a minute, do you remember when Joe Biden ran for president during the campaign last year? Where was he in terms of polling numbers among Democrats?
He was ahead, but down. But
he was down. Dead last.
Well, sure. And suddenly at the end of the election, he has more black votes and voters than Obama.
Who was it that came to his rescue? Do you remember that? South Carolina last year? Clyburn.
Yep. Oh, yep. Right. Clyburn. Yep. Clyburn.
Came out, and all of a sudden, up comes this surge of black voters. Because this black man, it's like the plantation again. You know, he just rescued him, pulled him out, and it was on the strength of that. Barack Obama in 2008, 95% of black folks voted for Barack Obama. You tell me one thing that Barack Obama did for black folks in the two terms that he was in the White
House. Well, he kept his promise.
He didn't do anything for him. He did a lot to him.
No, he kept his promise. His promise was nothing, and he did.
And he did nothing.
he
sure did help the homosexual community.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
LGBT.
He helped every other group. And so my point was that when it comes to the electoral and the political process, black folks have been used. And so that's the dilemma, and it's no different now.
But also, the other thing to sort of validate what you're saying, think of it this way. Black people are accused of having babies and being on welfare, but yet they turn around and said that black people needed abortions because they were having them unsafe.
Yep.
Now, are we having babies or are we having abortions?
Yep.
I mean, it's whatever you want the Trojan horse to be,
yep,
as long as it's a black person.
Well, I thought it interesting that here I remember Bill Clinton when Hillary was running against Obama, and they had on a hot mic, Bill Clinton was saying, not long ago, he would have been waiting our tables and getting our coffee,
yep,
okay?
Yep.
But you didn't hear, they ignored that, right? They ignored that.
Yep.
But and then what did Joe Biden, you know, Joe Biden is about as much as Ku Klux Klan, I mean, as you can get. And here, Biden said, well, he did compliment Obama. He said he was clean for a black man, you know?
Yep.
He was clean, yeah.
The political left, progressives, Democrats, have a history, a very long history of racism. But they have packaged it in a way so that literally millions of blacks have fallen in line. And primarily the reason has been because the issues have always been defined as race.
Yes.
With the black community, if there's this feeling that this is good for us as a race, we'll fall in line. Let me tell you, Barack Obama has no stake in the slavery issue at all, because his father wasn't a slave, nor was his mother. His mother was white. His father was an African. So he has no trace at all to the whole issue of slavery, yet he was portrayed.
But we can say that about Kamala Harris, too.
Yeah.
She's
Kamala,
not even black.
She doesn't fall in. But you know, she's whatever they need for her to be.
And that's been the issue. So getting back now to Trayvon Martin, 2012 happens. And so they create this movement. Fast forward 2 years to outside of St. Louis. Remember Michael Brown?
Michael Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So now here is another situation where this Black Lives Matter now goes from being an organization to a movement. Remember how they tore up Ferguson?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, all of those folks show up in Ferguson. So now this is not just a little fly-by night, but now there's momentum that's beginning to build from across the nation. Go another 6 years to 2020, right in the midst of the pandemic, and now we've got George Floyd. Now this is a movement that is global.
Can you tell us, or is there any information about what happened within those ensuing 6 years to give it momentum?
They continue to move this thing via social media.
Okay.
And they began to build and indoctrinate in ways that they used institutions in order to do that. I have a list here. Let me tell you some of the things that took place. Beginning in 2016, there was a movement called Black Lives Matter at School. Okay. What they did was to identify fertile ground to begin to indoctrinate into this whole movement. Most people don't realize that in 2016, there were thousands of educators in Seattle who came to these schools wearing Black Lives Matter. Hundreds of families did the same thing. The very next year, 2017, that thing happened in Philadelphia, where there was a caucus of working educators for Racial Justice Committee. They started doing the same thing, indoctrinating in the schools. That moved to Philadelphia, that moved to Los Angeles, Chicago, Detroit, Boston, New York City, Baltimore, Washington, all of these places, they're building this movement. And the low-hanging fruit was Black Lives Matter. Nobody wants to be identified as a racist, so what do? You fall right in line.
Into it.
Multinational corporations fell right in line with all of that.
Can you elaborate on, now, where do they stick the guilt in here? Here. Let's have some fun with Pastor Ernie and Lisa. You know, let's pretend I'm white for a minute, okay? Now, I'm white, and I'm starting to feel guilty.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, help me out now. Help me out of this thing.
Well, here is the thing. See, this is a no-win scenario now. Because always at the very back end of this thing, always at the back end is the issue of slavery. Whenever you get in trouble, you go back to the Black community and you point to that because that raises all of the emotion again. And so everything connects with that. You remember that whole list of folks who were killed, who were shot by police?
Oh, yeah.
In most of those cases, those were legitimate issues where the police intervened. Michael Brown, remember, hands up, don't shoot?
Oh, yeah.
Remember how big of a deal that was? Yeah. It was clear he was wrong.
Right.
The Justice Department came in, investigated it, found there's nothing going on here, but it didn't stop. Hands up, don't shoot. Why? Because this is another one of those cases of racism, just like slavery. They have used that effectively year after year after year.
All righty, very good. You know, we're going to, you know, when we come back, we're coming to a break. But I'm trying to figure out who was it that sold all them black slaves to the Arabs? And then the Arabs sold a lot of them, to people from Sweden and so on and so forth. Who was it that sold all them black slaves?
Well, actually, I'm reading a book now called Daughters of the Trade, and it's you kind of got it backwards. But I'll back out because I know we're just about at the break. Is that right?
Yeah.
When we come back, we can finish this and kind of.
All right, we'll do that, and we're going to go back in time. There you go. All right, we're coming up to a break. When we come back, hang in there, folks, and we're going to pick it up from there and continue to make burn, loot, and murder happy. Be right back. Don't go away. There's a lot more to come.
Fight the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.